Welcome back to Insight Music on Cap Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. Herb Alpert is still touring, even in his 80s. He performs with his wife, the Grammy-winning vocalist Lonnie Hall. Herb Alpert became a legendary trumpet player and composer, but he first hit number one on the Billboard charts in 1968 with the song This Guy's in Love with You. He's won 9 Grammys. His records have gone platinum 14 times and gold 15 times. He talked with Cap Radio's Gary Vercelli in September of 2018, reflecting on his career and his life.
I used to go to bullfights in Tijuana, which is not too far from where I live. And I got caught up in the feeling of the event. You know, I never listened to mariachi music, but up in the stands there was a brass band, and they used to introduce the different events, like ba-da, ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and the bull would come charging out, and then they'd have another fanfare, and the matador would come out, and I don't know. I just tried to translate that feeling that I got into music, so that's what happened. That was the Lonely Bull. That was a song written by a friend of mine. I adapted it to suit this feeling that I had, and that record took off like a rocket ship.
Wow. When you ran A&M Records with Jerry Moss, The Carpenters were one of your biggest hits, and you signed The Carpenters, correct?
Yeah, I signed Richard and Karen in 1970, maybe late 69. They continue to sell records. God bless her. Karen was an extraordinary talent.
Why do birds suddenly
She didn't really know how great she was, unfortunately. She'd always say, my strength is a drummer. When I met them, Karen was playing drums.
Yeah.
And luckily for them and us, I gave them Close to You, that song that was their major breakthrough song.
Why do stars fall down from the sky every time you walk by? Just like me, they long to be close to you. On the day that you...
Did you have any idea that Close to You was going to explode the way the Lonely Bull did?
I have no idea. You never know. You know, it's like you leave it up to the public. You try to make the best record you can and then leave it at that. Now, there's no way of knowing. You know, people used to come into A&M and they'd have a master recording. If you liked it, you could sign them. So this artist came in with this record, and I hated it. It was, like, too long. I thought it was out of tune. I just didn't like listening to it. I turned it down. Well, it turned out to be Louie Louie.
Oh, wow.
That's one that got away.
Herb, I want to talk to you about your long-term partnership with Lonnie Hall, and I want to know how you met her.
Oh, well, Lonnie's an angel. We've been married for 44 years. I met her in 1966. I auditioned Sergio Mendes in Brazil 66 in 1966 for A&M Records. We signed them. Sergio was opening the show for the Tijuana Brass. And at that time, we were playing for, 20,000 people at a time in big arenas. And Lonnie and I became friends, and I just really appreciated her authenticity and her singing, man. She's a world-class singer. She gives you goosebumps, and she's an amazing human being.
One more question about Sergio Mendes. I heard his albums before he came to A&M Records, and they were pretty much straight jazz albums. They didn't sell very well. Did you get him to get in touch with his Brazilian roots or to take the new Brazil 66 image?
Sergio had a group called Brazil 65, and he was going to disband that group because it wasn't happening, and he was going to take one more shot at it, because Brazil 65, he had Brazilian artists involved with him, and he said he was going to kind of Americanize it a little bit and give it one more shot, call it Brazil 66. He met my wife. She was singing at a club in Chicago, and he fell in love with her sound and asked her to be the lead singer. The first song that we worked on was Mashkinada, which became a pretty good seller and also was popular in the clubs. But when Sergio had it, he had it at a really extremely fast tempo. And I said, no, man, we got to slow this baby down. You're playing this thing for hummingbirds. You know, it doesn't work. So we slowed it down. We got it into the groove. And that just became one of the catalysts that catapulted Sergio and the group. But it didn't hurt that he was opening the show for us for 20,000 people at a time.
Mashkinada, sai da minha frente que eu quero passar. Pois o samba está animado, o jogueiro em samba. Este samba que é misto de maracatu. Em samba de preto veio, samba de grito do. Mashkinada, samba como esta tá legal.
Herb, you took up the trumpet at age 8, and you're also a painter. When did you start painting, and do they share a common creative gestalt?
Oh, yeah. I've been painting for close to 50 years now, and when I was traveling around the world with the Tijuana Brass, I used to go to museums. Always intrigued by the modern art section, and I saw paintings that touched me, and I returned home, bought a canvas and some paints, and started moving paint around like a monkey, you know, just kind of going for a feeling. And I just continued doing it, and little by little it started to evolve into something that was really giving me a lot of pleasure. And a gallery owner happened to see my work, and he wanted to show the work, and this was years back. And one thing led to another, and then I started sculpting, and the same thing happened there. It's been an incredible journey for me. I mean, I have 9 huge sculptures at the Field Museum in Chicago, I mean, from 14 to 17 and a half foot totems in bronze.
Do you ever feel like, well, I'm sculpting, I could be playing the trumpet, or I'm playing the trumpet, I could be painting?
No, not really. I mean, I have time to do all three, and, you know, one of my great loves is to record. When I got into producing records, when I met the great Sam Cooke, and I learned a lot from him, although he didn't realize he was teaching me anything at the time. But I just got intrigued by that whole way of putting music together.
Don't know much about history.
Herb, did you write Wonderful World for Sam Cooke?
Well, I wrote Wonderful World with Sam Cooke and Lou Adler, and Sam was brilliant. He was special. He had magic dust on him. You know, he was the lead singer with a very famous gospel group, and he just had this honest way of presenting himself as an artist. It was beautiful to watch, and I tell this story now and then about, you know, he used to carry around this notebook with him with all the lyrics that he was going to write music to, and he showed me this one lyric. He says, Herbie, what do you think of this lyric here? And when I looked at it, man, it was like the corniest lyric I have ever seen in my entire life. I didn't say that to him, but I just couldn't believe it that he was going to write a song over that. I said, well, what's the song sound like? Well, he did have the song, and he picked up his guitar, started singing this thing with this, I thought, corny lyric, and all of a sudden the thing turned into magic. I mean, it was like his intent, his passion, where he put the notes, the melody that he chose, the rhythm. I mean, it was an eye-opener for me. It just made me realize it ain't what you do, it's the way how you do it. And he had the way to do it.
We're having a party, dancing to the music played by the DJ.
Were the lyrics, the Cokes are in the icebox?
Absolutely, that was it.
The Cokes are in the icebox. popcorn's on the table.
Couldn't be any cornier, but man, when he sang it, I mean, it was like a real a moment for me.
So, Mr. Mr. DJ, keep those records playing, 'cause I'm having such a good time dancing with my baby.
Do you still practice the trumpet every day? Because it's kind of an unforgiving instrument, isn't it?
It's a beautiful instrument. It's. I do it every day just about, but not because I have to. I just love it. I mean, I started playing when I was 8 years old. I had this incredible experience in my grammar school. It was a music appreciation class. And they had a table filled with various instruments. I happened to pick up the trumpet, and it was talking for me because I'm an introvert, basically. And as a kid, I was pretty mute. It's obviously changed my life, and I work very hard with the Herb Alpert Foundation to make sure that kids have some type of creative experience at an early age. I think it's so important to be a core part of kids' education.
Well, I read that you wrote a rather large check to keep a school in Harlem operational.
They were closing their doors. They were out of funds. We did some research on it, and I just couldn't imagine a school from Harlem, which gave us so many great musicians, and the energy in that whole area was so spectacular. I couldn't imagine it going out of business. So we made some changes. Yes, we invested some money in it, and we changed the management a bit, and it all worked out great. It turns out now it's one of the best things I've ever done with the Herb Alpert Foundation.
Herb, you have an upcoming release, a retake on A Taste of Honey?
Well, I got a different take on all those songs, all those evergreens, called Reimagined Tijuana Brass. So I took some of those songs, which I was reluctant to do because I didn't think I could add anything to those songs, but got together with Joachim Vandersag, who got a little different take than working with me on them. It's always been intriguing for me to take a song that people recognize, and can I do it in a different way that they haven't heard quite that way before? And that was my pursuit, and it came off really well. I think anybody picks up this project, I think they will appreciate that.
That was Herb Alpert talking with Gary Vercelli in September of 2018. You can see Herb Alpert perform live with his wife Lonnie Hall at the Sophia in Sacramento tonight and tomorrow night. We have ticket information on our website. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.